This is Jeremy here at the Myrtle Beach KOA, about to check in at the bounce pillow. I'm gonna climb up on the bounce pillow with the kids with the recorder in my hand and try and capture the sounds of the bounce pillow. So wish me luck. What? Oh, shoes. My shoes are on. I have to get off. The kids just told me to get off.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest.
This week we are live from the Myrtle Beach KOA, and we are bringing you some sounds from the Grand Strand. Myrtle Beach is big and bold and busy, but on our first visit last year, we discovered this wooded camping retreat right in the middle of all the action.
This year we couldn't help but return. Lucky for us, in addition to hanging out in a beautiful area with great weather, we got to spend time with some fabulous people, too.
On episode 30, we are interviewing Jeremiah Drew, the campground manager here at Myrtle Beach KOA. We pretty much feel they should make a clone of Jeremiah for campgrounds all across the country. He's just that good. We will talk up to him about what makes this city and this campground the perfect pick for a vacationing family.
And we will also interview a family that fled the chilly weather of the Northeast and just spent a great week at the Myrtle Beach KOA. Hector and Laura are podcast listeners, and now, after spending some time around the dinner table and campfire together, we are also lucky to call them friends. Their kids are a bit older than ours, so we will get another perspective on family fun in Myrtle Beach.
All of this and so much more on episode 30 of RV Family Travel Atlas, live from the Myrtle Beach KOA.
So as most of our listeners know, we are here in Myrtle Beach at the end of a pretty amazing week. And we wanted to take a second and thank our sponsors for this trip, because this was a sponsored trip. So our accommodations were sponsored by Campgrounds of America. We've been staying here at the Myrtle Beach KOA for the second year in a row and loving it again. And we were also sponsored by the Myrtle Beach Chamber of Commerce for all of our activities.
Right. And you can visit them at mymyrtlebeach.com. And they have, like, it's the Chamber of Commerce. They have all, like, the suggestions for things you can do in the area and everything if you're visiting.
Yeah, so. And I think it's important to say we were not asked to write anything in particular or to say anything specific. And
no,
these are all our opinions, and we feel passionate about the things we're recommending.
Yeah. And really the way it's set up to just give us the opportunity to explore as much of the area as possible
right.
during a trip so that you can turn around and give recommendations that are suited for your audience, because
right.
everybody's audience is
and
different.
And we're not even going to recommend every single thing that we did here, only
right.
things that we love and things that we feel had really good prices.
Yeah.
And as far as the accommodations sponsored by Campgrounds of America, we have been customers of this campground before, and we loved it,
yeah.
and we asked to come back here. And mm-hmm. so we just absolutely adore this campground.
Yeah, well, and speaking of that, right, we did come here last year over our spring break, and it was the first time we had ever been to Myrtle Beach.
Right.
We hadn't even been near
you
Myrtle Beach.
You had to persuade me to come to Myrtle Beach.
And I did.
I really thought it was just all the crazy boardwalk stuff. I
right.
really did not have a full picture of Myrtle Beach. And I'm so glad you did persuade me, because this has become one of my absolute favorite places for an RV trip.
And, you know, here's one of those things that points to how important recommendations are in travel. I had a couple of friends that I really trusted.
That's
talked
right.
to me
about Laura and Dave, right?
Oh, yeah.
Been coming to Myrtle Beach for
years. I
could
name three different
right.
families that I know, girlfriends that I have, and their families returned to Myrtle Beach
right.
over and over again. And I thought, these three women that I'm, like, friendly with and that I know and we enjoy a lot
they're
of the
same
things.
They're not exactly crazy boardwalk people either.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there has to be something here. You can't tell me that this isn't a valuable place to go. So I did push for it because I felt like, you know.
So you pushed for it. The KOA looked great. So we booked our accommodations last year at this campground. We fell in love with this campground last year. And I'll try to explain why. It's hard to explain unless you're here. The campground is two blocks from the boardwalk and the beach.
Yeah.
yet it is in a really deeply wooded setting right smack in the middle of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
It's almost kind of like a magic trick.
Mm-hmm.
You turn left into the campground and you disappear into this kind of magical forest. And yes, you can hear the sounds of the city in the background a little bit, but it is actually a very quiet, very wooded campground right smack in the middle of Myrtle Beach. And we loved that combination of elements of having like the woodsy camping, but then you can walk right out of the campground to miniature golf, to the boardwalk, to the beach.
And this isn't the only place in this region that has that feel to it, because what we realized last year was that there are so many pockets of pristine outdoor beauty in this
area.
And
that's what took me by surprise. And that's why I'm so thankful that you talked us into doing this last year, because there is all kinds of high culture here.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of outdoors culture here.
And last year, because this is the kind of family we are, we didn't even play a round of miniature golf
here in Myrtle Beach, we didn't do
any rides. The boys were still young enough that we could kind of like keep them a little bit.
That jig is up because they're heading to the rides tomorrow.
Yeah, and we are. And so this year it's a different vacation. And that's another great thing about this area is that you can do a lot of other things besides the boardwalk fun. Now, however, when your kids are the right age for the boardwalk fun,
it's right there. You can walk to it from the campground.
And they can't wait to do that. And we've done little piecemeal activities throughout the week, like ziplining.
We've packed so much in. Now, let me say this. Yeah. We're in a couple weeks, we're going to put together a full hour-long Myrtle Beach adventure guide.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hit all of the best things to do. We'll give information on pricing. We'll give all the information you need, just like the adventure guides we did for Acadia National Park and Cape Cod. But tonight's episode is really more centered around the two interviews that we have.
Yeah, and sort of our time here at the campground.
Yeah, live at Myrtle Beach. This is the first podcast we've done from the road,
right?
Which has been exciting and challenging. So we're on totally different equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And working out how we were going to do it.
Well, the kids are asleep in the camper right now. And both of the interviews we did around the campfire, right outside of our RV. So don't adjust your speakers and think that there's sound issues. There's cicadas in the background.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear the campfire crackling. There's a curious incident with a dog in the nighttime. Okay. So, you know what? We wanted to record outside and catch some of the sounds of the campground, and we did.
Yeah.
So we have two interviews tonight. The first interview is with the manager of this campground, the general manager, Jeremiah Drew, who, in our opinion, is just a rising star in the KOA system of campgrounds.
Well, and, bar none, the best campground manager in all of our travels.
And also I have to say,
I hope we're not offended. I'm like thinking, is there any campground manager out there that would be offending?
But we've met a lot of great managers.
Right.
Jeremiah kind of takes it over the top, and he's just here all the time. He's very hands on. He kind of meets everybody, knows everybody, talks to everybody.
Yeah.
And this is a big, I would imagine, this is a big, large campground.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was something that last year, on our first visit here, we kept going back to over and over again, just in our conversation.
Right.
As we were talking about the campground and why we loved it so much here, really our conversation kept returning to all of the aspects that he's involved
in. And last year we said over and over again that every single staff member at this campground, it's a relatively large staff, every single staff member is pleasant and nice and kind and welcoming to us, welcoming to our children.
Yeah.
And actually, I see a lot of the same faces here this year, so it doesn't seem like there's much turnover.
They just strike a tone here that's really lovely. And
yeah.
It's one of those places that even though we love to travel to, you know, all over the place and see new things, we know we're just going to be drawn back here over and over again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then our second interview, we're really excited about this. We have two of our podcast listeners are here with their two daughters spending the week's vacation here as well. And they booked a site pretty close to ours. Actually, they booked before us.
Yes, they did.
So when I called, they said, hey, get us close to these guys. Yeah. And so we're very, very close to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some time to really meet them and get to know them. And they're a lovely family.
Yeah.
So we decided to talk to them kind of about their journey as RVers and about just their week here at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
And Stephanie, you pointed out their girls are older than ours.
Right. So they have girls that are in the sort of like 5th grade through 7th grade range, okay? So not quite teenagers, but getting close. And I think that that is just such a different time, right? In family travel.
Yeah.
So, and they also have so many aspects of their family travel that coincide, I think, with a lot of our listeners. So they were tent campers originally, which we never were.
Right.
Then
they finally
bought the pop-up.
And Laura's looking at a travel trailer.
Laura's
She's
looking
shopping
at a travel
online.
Trailer.
So just following that sort of traditional trajectory.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, they're just such great people. And I thought, let's get their voices
into the show. Yeah, it's important. You know, if you're a listener out there and you have older kids, you want to hear their interview because they loved it here too.
Right.
You know, maybe for slightly different reasons than we did, but they also loved it here too.
And it was fun to watch their kids around the campground. So different than our, you know, the stage in life.
It was fun to watch our boys showing off for these two older girls.
Oh, and how about tonight? They won it. We went to a ball game tonight. The Pelicans. Right? Opening night at the Pelicans.
And
so much fun.
We made the mistake, or not the mistake, of going into the gift shop.
Yeah, well, that's only a short bit.
So we're all wearing new hats.
Before we left for the ball game, the boys wanted that family to come, Laura and Hector. They wanted them to come so bad, and they kept saying, and their truck wasn't at their camper, because we said to them, well, we'll tell them we're going and see if they want to go, and their truck wasn't there, and the boys were like, can't we just please drive by?
You know what,
and
Stephanie,
see?
You're making me realize that the boys are becoming more sociable, and that is so important to both of us, and I think that being at campgrounds and spending a lot of time at campgrounds has made them really social little boys. And I see that coming out of them on this trip a lot.
Yeah.
Because we actually have a golf cart here for the first time, which has been like, it's like all Wesley wants to do is like drive the golf cart.
Ride.
And we took the golf cart to CVS this morning because you can take the golf carts outside of the campground.
You just can't drive on
and
the highway.
The quote of the day from Max was, Daddy, are there police in South Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? He said, because you get to do crazy things here.
Wow.
But anyway, we've been driving around in this golf cart waving, chatting with people. And now they're waving and talking to people. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, we'll be back in a second with a really fun interview with the general manager of the Myrtle Beach KOA, Jeremiah Drew. All right, so welcome back, everybody. We're very excited to be here with Jeremiah Drew, the general manager of the Myrtle Beach KOA.
And celebrity.
Manager of the
Absolutely.
Myrtle Beach KOA.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to chat with him for a while about what it's like to manage a large, successful campground in Myrtle Beach.
Right, and we are really, really excited to score this interview because we pretty much think that Jeremiah is the most amazing campground manager that we've ever seen.
The platonic ideal.
Right, right. We feel that campground managers all over the country should sort of come here, right, and just kind of watch him a little bit.
Last year, we joked around that it seemed like we saw you everywhere.
Right,
and we were
right.
joking around that we thought there were like two of you or three of you.
Maybe there were more than
and
one of
one
you
point,
sort of running
At one
running
point,
around.
Stephanie said, oh, let's ask him where to go eat, and it was like you appeared.
Yeah,
it was
right.
like you
there
popped
you
out from behind
where
a tree.
Where should we go eat?
So you're omnipresent here at the KOA.
Right. So we knew that you were the important person to talk to around here. But so welcome. Hi.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Here it is. So it took us a while to get to Myrtle Beach. We were RVing for quite a few years before we
For 5 years before
came
we even
here.
Thought about Myrtle Beach.
And I kind of dragged Jeremy kicking and screaming here because he thought it was very touristy. You know, like all the pictures that people have in their head of like the
and
boardwalk.
We live at the Jersey Shore. We have the boardwalk. So I thought, why are we going to drive, 10 hours to go to the boardwalk? We live by the boardwalk.
Yeah. So it took us a while to get here. And once we were amazed at how much we loved it last year. But other people might not understand why this is just such an amazing destination.
So why should a family pick Myrtle Beach for a spring vacation, a summer vacation, whatever it may be?
You know, Myrtle Beach is just, it's one of those areas now that just seems to be, you would think that it's done growing and evolving as to what it is, and it's just, you know, everywhere you look, there's a different restaurant on a corner. There's a new activity going up. You know, there's mini golf literally everywhere. I mean,
it's... And mini golf about 100 yards or less from the campground.
Easily.
Yeah.
Sure. 50
yeah.
yards.
And there's two of them, actually. One is currently open and one is currently preparing to open up. So there'll be two within, you know, spitting distance of where we're at, you know, and it's just, it's so family friendly. I mean, if you think about it, you go down to the beach, you rarely run into somebody who, you know, isn't here on vacation. You know, you don't see a lot of locals at the public mm-hmm. beach. They go to the specialized locations
oh,
and
yeah,
things like that.
Oh, yeah, they've got their secret
places. They got their secret little hideouts. You know,
right,
kind of like
tell it, us a little more about those
kind of like
after the interview. Uh-huh.
Kind of like when you're in Hawaii and you got those, you know, locals only. You know, that's,
right.
But it's just such a nice area. You know, you've got woods and areas you wouldn't even think
well,
would
and
be there.
That's what's amazing.
Yes.
About this location. I'm going to let you talk about that more in a second, but we are in a very wooded setting.
Yeah.
And we're 2 blocks from the boardwalk?
2 blocks from the boardwalk and less than 2 from the actual water, and you put your toes in the sand, so...
Right, but it feels like we're in the middle of the forest.
Right, so if you look up here, there's just trees everywhere around us, and so, I mean, I think that leads us right to our next question, is what makes this campground special?
And let's back up for a second. I think that once you come to Myrtle Beach on an RV trip, you realize it's kind of RV heaven.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of campgrounds in Myrtle Beach and in the environs. And you have state parks, you have all kinds of options. So, you know, why come here? What's the competitive advantage to this campground over the others?
You know, I think the competitive advantage we have here is when you think of camping, you know, in your mind you think... Mm-hmm. You know, woods and,
right.
and just going off into the wilderness and just kind of exploring. And, you know, at the other campgrounds, they've got amazing things that they offer. I mean, they've got putt-putt on site. They've got restaurants on site. But, you know, you get a real experience of wooded camping mm-hmm. in the heart of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, which I can't think of another campground in the country that probably has that combination of elements, not that we've heard of or seen.
Right, where you can really just walk to all the attractions.
Yeah, I mean, we've become friendly with a couple, a row over, and they walk their dogs every night from their site to the boardwalk.
Right. Now, we did drive through some of the other campgrounds last year. We were looking, and I think that what Jeremiah is saying is true. It felt almost like a city environment in some of the other
yeah,
campgrounds. So it's very busy, right? There was lots of amenities, but it was very busy, and this does
And the
feel...
private campgrounds we found to be too busy because there was a lot of traffic,
yeah.
too many golf carts, too much going on, where we both said we wouldn't feel comfortable with the kids zooming around on the streets.
Yeah, right. And
right.
the kids
right,
like
yeah.
to zoom around.
So what, in terms of amenities and activities, what are some of the things you guys have going here?
Currently, we've got the splash pad. You know, it's basically a little sprinkler pad that the kids can run through, and you know, there's water.
Oh, we might as well just say it. A dog just ran up. See, we're live here at RV Family Travel Atlas. We're by the campfire. We're outside, and a strange
and dog
just ran under the table
and
wants to be part of the interview.
He's got his little jingle ball on.
But that's how we roll here. It's fresh. It's spontaneous. It's real.
I think he's going back home now.
Now the dog is gone, but Jeremiah is still here.
Okay, so Jeremiah. Continue. What are the amenities?
Amenities, fun stuff to do right on the campground.
Okay, right. So right on the campground, you know, we have an outdoor movie theater, and what it does is it fits in a little bag, and then you attach, you know, a motor to it, and it blows it up into literally a 7-foot-tall movie theater screen.
Cool.
And we do those every Friday night, you know, starting, you know. Come camp with us weekend, which is in May. It's Mother's Day weekend.
Care camps.
Okay,
care camp
right.
weekend,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
Yeah,
and that'll be our
camps.
First outdoor theater
okay.
night. You know, we do karaoke, which is one of my personal favorites.
And do you sing?
I do.
Oh.
I sing and I entertain. So
awesome.
It's not your typical
He's
go
like
and sing karaoke.
Yeah, to run the risk of being corny. Now, when we were here last year, for Easter break as well. There was a rainy night mm-hmm. where you did a movie inside one of the buildings here, and Jeremiah put the movie on,
yeah.
he was giving out snacks to the kids. You're very hands-on.
Right. And when we were trying to explain where we were returning to our boys, it's hard for them, like, sometimes to remember which campground it is that we're going back to. So we try to give them those things to remember. And one of them specifically
that
said,
they remembered
is it
that
the place
movie.
That we watched the movie?
They remembered the movie.
They remembered the movie. They remembered going there and having popcorn. I think that you gave
That's
them
right.
popcorn. Because they remember, I wasn't even there, but they knew they got popcorn on the movie night. And it's very important to us that our kids develop memories, like, with what we're doing. And it's interesting to see that it is those little things, like, probably, like, you singing karaoke that
so
makes the difference.
Movies on Friday nights. What are some other things, if a family were to show up here, that you'd be doing?
Okay, so we have the jumping pillow.
Yeah, wow.
You know, so the jumping
We've
pillow
heard of that.
Just speaks for itself. Yeah, it is literally, you think in your mind, what is a jumping pillow?
It's
what you just pictured is exactly what it is. You know, it's the forbidden fruit of the house. Don't jump on the bed. Okay, well, we'll name this thing a pillow, and you can jump on the pillow.
Yeah, all
you
day
know,
long.
So we have that. Of course, we got our swimming pools.
Right.
Two
swimming pools, but I think one of my favorite things that we have here is the beach shuttle.
Okay.
Now, what that is it's our 10-person golf cart that will literally take you from the campground. If you do not want to walk, we'll take you to the beach, and then we'll come back and get you.
And do people just schedule that? Can they just be like, can you come back and get us? Or do you run it on the...
In the summertime and peak season, it runs from about 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 at night.
Okay, you're just going to run it continuously.
Right.
Back
now,
and forth.
What we've been getting into, which seems to be working a lot better, is some people don't want to time their beach trip. Mm-hmm. So what they'll say is, hey, can you come back? Oh, I don't know, around 4?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we'll guesstimate, okay, so if we leave here at 3:55 and we get down there and they're not there yet, we give them time because they're here on vacation.
Yeah.
We live here. We work.
4 o'clock can be flexible.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're flexible.
The Myrtle Beach time is a little different.
Yeah,
it is. Like the rest of the, you know, where we're from in the Northeast. I got to back you up on that bounce pillow for a second, because not only do you have a bounce pillow, and I've been snapping some photos of that bounce pillow, it's on the water, has a water view.
That's right.
And it's a beautiful little setting for a bounce pillow.
Right, or it's a beautiful setting for the parents that are there with their children.
Yeah, it's like you're sitting and chilling out. It's like
watching
a pretty
them
setting.
On the bounce
now,
pillow.
Now, what is that little body of water called? You call that a river? You call that a stream?
No,
a swash?
A
what
swash,
is that thing
right?
called?
We call that beautiful thing a swash.
A swash. And there's fish jump out
it.
Of that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. They will jump.
Yeah.
They will jump out. And it's actually neat. If you get close enough, the turtles will come say hello. They will come out and...
Are they dyed KOA yellow?
No, I haven't got a hold of one.
But
if I do, we're going to have a yellow Ninja Turtle on our hands if I can get a hold of one.
The mascot.
That's right.
Campground
absolutely.
Mascot.
You got to have one.
Right. And you can fish, right?
You can.
There I do
the
see
the boys
kids.
Fished last year.
Right,
yeah.
We did, but we haven't yet this year. We haven't had time. We've been very busy.
We always recommend catch and release because it is brackish water, so it is ocean runoff. I mean, it's just fun to catch it and then you let it go back into...
Yes.
It's a pretty setting.
You don't want anybody planning their, like, dinners. Campground dinners.
Don't plan a campfire dinner with what you catch out of the swash.
Okay.
If you want some visual, for our listeners out there, if you want some visuals, we have some photos up on Instagram of the bounce pillow, of the campground, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So anything else about the campground, or do you want to talk maybe more about get some local knowledge from Jeremiah about the city?
Yeah, I would like to say, because this is our podcast listeners know, I'm a little bit annoying about my comments with the speed that people go in campgrounds. It's one of my pet peeves when people drive too fast in a campground. And I would like to say that I love the one ways down the pull through, strips.
They're long aisles here
and
with the pull through sights.
So the sight lines are really great. And I would also like to say that our boys scoot up and down, up
and down.
So we
let them go to the beginning.
Never once has a car driven by too fast.
The culture is right at this campground.
It's
people are looking
slow.
Out for kids.
Yes.
People are driving slowly. There's not too many golf carts around, but the people on the golf carts are driving slowly.
And look, I wish my boys were careful, but I can't quite call them that. So it makes me feel
so
really good.
You really feel like you guys are hitting your marks making
on
this
tone.
A family-friendly campground.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So give us some insider knowledge on some things to do in the city. You want to talk food?
Well, because it's hard to separate it out, right? Like, if you drive up and down the Grand Strand, it's like they all look the same, right?
Absolutely.
So it's really hard for people to know, like, how do you pick a good place to eat around here? And we like food, so
sure. Yeah, no, for anybody that hasn't been to Myrtle Beach, the one thing that you're going to notice out of everything else is how many pancake houses exist on this stretch of road.
Right.
So, you know, realistically, you've got your Shoney's and you've got your Denny's and you've got all these, you know, big franchises.
You could gain a lot of weight here if you wanted to.
Right. Now, just outside of the campground is a small little home-cooked breakfast place called Victoria's.
Okay.
And it's over on 3rd Avenue South, just outside the campground.
Okay.
Fantastic for breakfast.
Victoria's?
Victoria's.
I'm writing this down for
Victoria's Country Cooking.
And your picture's on the wall there?
I've been making everybody have smoothies all week.
No, you know, our picture's not on the wall, but they do frequently see yellow.
Okay. All right. Victoria's.
How about is there a seafood you'd recommend if you want to go out and get seafood?
Yeah, if you want some of the best seafood, you know, in Myrtle Beach, you know, the Noisy Oyster, just, again, few blocks down the road, it is probably the most popular.
Okay.
When people come in, they say, "Oh my, you've got to try the Noisy Oyster."
I agree. Okay.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. If you want, you know, really good seafood, you know, and you don't want to do the buffets.
No.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't do buffets.
I don't do the buffets.
Noisy Oyster is really good if you want to be in Myrtle Beach. If you want to go further south into Myrtle's Inlet. You can't go wrong if you get on to where, what is that now? The Marsh Walk.
Okay.
There's a few restaurants.
We haven't done that yet.
We drove by. Yeah.
There's Nance's is down there.
Okay.
It's pretty, pretty there.
Right. Oh, it's beautiful. I mean, you get to sit out on the deck and it's fresh seafood down there.
Okay.
Because the boats come and dock right there. So you're getting fresh seafood at any of those restaurants. Right there along the Marsh Walk.
Okay, so that's a pretty good bet. If you want to go out for a seafood dinner, go down to the Marsh Walk,
absolutely.
You're going to get quality.
For our listeners who have not been to Myrtle Beach, who think like I used to think, that it's just the crazy chaos of the boardwalk, you don't need to drive too far south to be in some really quiet, beautiful, tranquil settings.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We were amazed by the outdoor culture.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
Like, by just getting off a little bit.
The arts culture and everything.
Yeah, which really hit our sweet spot, because that's what we like to do. Our boys are less annoying when we're outside.
Let's talk about your job here as general manager. Now, this is a pretty large campground. It doesn't feel like a large campground. It feels very cute and cozy right where we are. About how big is the campground? Can you give us some sense of
There are 686 total listed sites in the campground.
I never would have guessed that.
I wouldn't have
If you had told me to guess, I would have said there's 200 sites.
That's what I would have been into. Yeah. I would have been like, I don't know, 200.
Well, because there's sections as well.
Right.
There's different parts of the campground.
Okay.
So you're managing a very large campground. So what are some of the challenges of managing a campground this size?
You know, to me, the biggest challenge that I have is I can't be everywhere at once as much as I want to be.
As much as we say you are.
You know, because I thrive on face-to-face interaction.
Yes.
You know, because there's a lot of places that you go and you want to see the person that's in charge. You know, even if you don't speak to them, you want to put a face with the name on the card at the front desk. And so I try to make it so that I am always available.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes paperwork will not dictate that.
Right.
And you've got to, there's other things that you got to do behind the scenes just to make this campground run as smoothly as it does.
Right. So there's a lot of action up at the kind of the check-in center in the front office, but you also like to be
making
around.
You don't want to get sucked back into the paperwork and all of that management. You like
to be out front. Right. I want to be outside. Okay. If I can put my hands in the dirt, I would like to put my hands in the dirt, you know, throwing trash.
Well,
you know,
because we joke about you all the time. Like, we were driving up out of the campground this morning, and Jeremy said, "See, that's the kind of campground manager he is. He cares about the plants."
You were like on hands and knees looking at the plants on the side of the building.
You were over on the side of the planter.
Like, okay, this is a general manager, and he's out here, like, pointing at the flowers.
He goes, he cares about the plants.
Yeah, but that's what he's like.
And there he goes, he's digging in the dirt.
Now, what are some of the fun parts of this for you?
You know,
what do you enjoy the most?
Honestly, the most that I enjoy here at the campground is just the guests themselves. You know, at the end of the day, my goal is I want kids to be crying because they're going home.
Our kids cry when they go to bed at night.
I like the positive cry. I like the cry of, oh, I don't want to go. Or,
they do not want to stop playing here.
Wesley cries, outside.
That's right.
They don't want to go to bed at night here.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a blessing to just, you know, be in the position I'm in and being at this location. But, you know, it's the campers that continue to come back.
Yeah.
You know, to me, is the greatest reward is because I get to see you know, people at their best. And
right.
yeah, you'll
relaxing,
have an occasional
having fun, yeah.
some kind of, you know, it just didn't go the way they want, but it's the fact that they're here.
Right.
And they come back because yeah. they know, oh, this is going to be just a great vacation. And they come back.
Well, we have to say, we like to go to different places mm-hmm. as much as possible, partly because we're writing about them. And we were initially not planning on coming back to Myrtle Beach. We were going to go somewhere we had never been before. But as we kind of crept closer to our spring break,
we
just said, we want to come back to Myrtle Beach, and we want to come back to the Myrtle Beach KOA.
Yeah, and I have to say, we're also camping next to a couple that we just met this week. And they've extended their
they
stay
keep extending
here
their stay.
By 5 nights already.
Yeah,
and then she said last night.
She keeps tacking on nights.
Last night she goes, well, and I reserved 2 more, and then I put a couple more on hold. She was like, I'm not sure. This
they
is
don't
their first time ever
yeah.
here, and they just don't want to leave. They're enjoying it so much, so I think that that's true. And for us, finding a place that we can get some warm weather, you know,
yeah.
after a really long, hard winter.
For our listeners in the Northeast, you know, we have a lot of listeners in Pennsylvania. You can get here with a reasonable drive, and, you know, it feels like you're in Florida to
right.
me. I mean, I guess
right.
it's warmer in Florida, but this is warm enough for me. It's been
yeah.
in the 70s all week,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So it's perfect. Exactly what we need.
Let's pretend that we had the power to give you the day off tomorrow. And you
we
could
would
do
if
it.
We could. Let's just get that clip.
And we
and we would
could
totally
do,
I appreciate that.
Off. You could do whatever you wanted to do in Myrtle Beach. What's your perfect Myrtle Beach day?
My perfect Myrtle Beach day is spending 4.5 hours on a golf course. Now, hopefully I'm not there that long, but, you know, golfing is such one of my passions. I just love it. It's so relaxing to just go out and play around a golf, and that's, you know, it gives me the opportunity working here as I take some of these snowbirds out and we do
oh,
golf
cool.
outings.
Oh, fun.
You know, so it's just, you know, the camaraderie of the guys out there that you're playing with, you know, but then, you know, you get done playing golf and you're hot and you're sweaty and, you know, what's the first thing they want to do? Oh, let's go to the 19th hole, which is
right.
just inside and grab a snack, you know,
right.
and we use Whispering Pines, which is just down the road
okay.
from here. It's
I was going to ask you where
right.
you play.
You know, it's
okay.
kind of a, it's a local spot. It really is. It's a mm-hmm. city-owned course. It's a beautiful course. It's, you know, it's always in great shape. It's well-managed as well, so, and they've got great food, so we enjoy that. You know,
okay.
I'll go out there and play on a day off if I get the chance,
okay.
but if I can't get the day off, I'll spend my time listening to music. Cause,
all know, right, well, maybe one of these days when we keep coming back, we'll...
Oh, that would be pretty comical
but
if you took us to play
it
golf.
It would be a comedy routine, not an actual golf game.
It would be a comedy sketch. Yeah.
Right. Like, we would have to put that one on YouTube, probably.
So, look, we recommend Myrtle Beach and the Myrtle Beach KOA as a top pick for an RV destination
yeah.
for anybody, for a family in particular, but for anybody. We think this is an elite vacation destination. We think we'll be coming back here for years to come.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Jeremiah
Thanks,
Drew
Jeremiah.
For sitting down with us around the campfire tonight.
No, thank you. It's my pleasure.
And
I enjoyed it.
Such a
now,
great campground.
And what
we
you don't know
it.
Is the dog bit him 5 times.
No, stop.
And he did
don't
not. He did
that.
Not.
And
show,
he didn't flinch.
He didn't, flinch. He didn't
See,
show
he's
pain.
He's so good under pressure. The
you
dog's
know,
on top of his
he,
head right now.
He didn't hesitate.
I believe I lost a toe.
But he'll be just fine. He'll still play his golf tomorrow on his day off.
Okay. Thanks again, man. We really appreciate your time.
No problem. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So we hope you enjoyed that interview with the general manager of the Myrtle Beach KOA, Jeremiah Drew, and we certainly did, and we certainly thank him for his time, and we expect great things from him in the future.
Yeah, and then also this next interview that you're going to hear is with Laura and Hector, and Laura and Hector started listening to our podcast quite a while back, and wrote us some, like, you know, nice little messages and notes about it, and then they came to our RV show.
That's right.
In Atlantic
we met
City.
Them at the Atlantic City
I
RV
think
show.
They might have been our first podcast
yes.
listeners that we met besides Karen. Karen we met
before
that, but not
but also,
at the...
They were at the first seminar we ever gave at an RV
yeah,
show, and
yeah.
they still wanted to be our friends. So after hearing us go through that first seminar.
Yeah. So they sat there in the audience, and they listened, and then we met them afterwards and put, like, faces to names and everything, and that was really
and they're
nice.
A lovely couple.
They are. They're so nice, and their daughters are lovely, too, because their daughters sat through our presentation, and
That's
there was
right.
no eye-rolling or
right.
sighing
right.
or anything. They
yeah,
totally
so
sat
so
there
cool.
nicely.
So they actually
actually booked the Myrtle Beach KOA mm-hmm. before we did for yeah. this week. Mm-hmm. And then we finally pulled it together and booked it too. And I said, hey, put us by, yeah. you know,
so we were like a row old over.
A row over. And we got to spend some time with them. We shared a meal together.
But I just wanted, you know, to point out that this is so much of why we do what we do, is that we've talked about that connection that happens through camping in the past and how right. it really does build a community in our culture right now that doesn't really exist in a lot of other places.
And it's a pretty darn wholesome, awesome community.
It really is. And these are people that you wouldn't meet. Like, even though we don't
yeah,
live
we
super
never
far
have
away
met-
from each
yeah,
other.
Yeah, it's true.
We wouldn't meet each other. We don't have the same jobs or the same, you know, families or personal connections. And yet you end up coming across these people that you have such a nice time with.
And they have the shared passion of the camping, the RVing, and the campground culture.
And, you know, we pulled up to our camper on Easter morning. We had been out and about somewhere. And, we were on the kayak tour. And we pulled back, and there had been a lot of heated discussion in our family, amongst the kids, about whether the Easter Bunny was going to find us here at the campground or back at home. Like, whether we were going to have to wait till yeah. we got back at home. And so, you know, there was a lot of the heated discussion. We weren't sure what was going to happen when we showed up, and there was a bag on our front steps.
An Easter bag.
An Easter bag. Just a bag, not a basket. And so the boys, you know, they haven't had a lot of experience with the Easter Bunny. So they see this bag and they were like, oh,
the Easter Bunny
came.
Knows we're at the
and
Myrtle Beach KOA.
I'm like, okay. So we get out of the car, the boys race over. There was a whole Easter bag full of goodies
left from
their family.
One of the goodies in the Easter bag was a box of Girl Scout cookie
yeah.
Thin Mints.
Right.
Okay?
I mean,
so it was, game on, people.
Yeah, Pringles, like an LED light up
yeah.
wall.
So
it was a
thank
really
thank you to Laura and Hector.
Now, the end of the story is that the Easter Bunny did, in fact, find them at the campground later on
yeah.
that day. And there were actually three Easter baskets that showed up at the campground when
so
after we were away at the jump pad. But this was just an example to me of how thoughtful and, like, just sweet and, like,
and
community
Laura
building.
And Laura can also crank up a serious campfire. And
yeah.
she put me to shame on the campfire front. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I've been dealing
yeah.
with that for the last few days.
She was a Girl Scout.
Look,
you can't be embarrassed.
I was not a Boy Scout.
You were not a Boy Scout.
I'm talking about it live.
Yeah.
Here from Myrtle Beach. My campfire was not doing too well. And she came over and she worked some magic. And it was blazing and
yeah.
crackling.
We say every time we pull out of the driveway for every trip, we look at each other when we're halfway down the road and we say, what did we forget this time? Because we know it's something. And this time it was your
fire starters.
You didn't have
I
any
confess,
fire starters. Well,
I
it's a good
fire
thing
starters.
Because Laura had fire starters. And what were her fire starters?
They were like some kind of handmade.
Yeah. She had a candle wrapped in wax paper.
Girl Scout style.
Girl Scout. And I was like, oh, a candle wrapped in wax
yeah.
paper. How easy is that? And they worked really well. So
yeah. So listen, we encourage you to hang out and listen to this interview with Laura and Hector. We're going to talk about their journey as RVers and about their really fun week here at the Myrtle Beach KOA.
And if you come to our rally.
That's right. Rallying at the end of May, last weekend of May at Lake Inwood
mm-hmm.
in Narvon, PA, you'll get to meet Laura and Hector, and she'll crank up your campfire.
Yeah, maybe I'll ask her to bring fire starters for everyone.
And
we'll stamp them with the RVFTA logo.
We have one last disclosure to make. We disclosed our sponsors. We're actually not live right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is a podcast.
Don't be fooled.
I insisted on calling this podcast live from the Myrtle Beach KOA because I thought it sounded cool.
So we'll put that in air quotes. Every time we say it.
Yeah.
Live.
Just so you know, this isn't happening now. Okay, we'll be back in a second with Laura and Hector. So we are here with RV Family Travel Atlas.
Totally after.
After hours.
Like totally after hours.
This
we
is,
should not be even talking right now.
This is the late show.
Yeah. We're like Dave Letterman of the campground.
We have
that's us. And
two
here
of
we
our
are.
Friends mm-hmm. here and podcast listeners who are also staying at the Myrtle Beach KOA.
Lucky for us.
Two rows over.
Yep.
And it's Hector and Laura Garcelle.
Yeah.
And I said that correctly,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep. Yeah. And lucky for us,
Laura used to be a Girl Scout and she knows how to start fires.
Yeah, because...
Because we have a crackling one right now, only because she brought over a fire starter.
My campfire was crap about 2 minutes ago.
Yep, stunk.
And Laura just jump-started that bad boy.
Yeah, look at it, roaring.
So we wanted to talk
They might not be able to hear
we
us
wanted to talk
over
to
the roaring campfire.
We wanted to talk to Hector and Laura, who's now running somewhere
because
to get a chair.
She's trying to get the camper, the chair away from her roaring campfire.
We can sacrifice that chair. We just want to talk to them about their camping experiences and their Myrtle Beach trip.
Yeah, yeah.
So when did you guys start camping with your kids or before kids?
I grew up camping. Grew up in a pop-up tent, a pop-up trailer. And then about 12 years ago, we got a group together and it's been camping ever since.
Yep. I never camped growing up. Grew up more urban area, so... Yeah, like she said, about 12 years ago or so, 15 or so, well, probably longer if we count the Disney trip with your dad first, but that'd be my first experience.
So another couple that has been to Fort Wilderness.
Yes.
Everybody except for us.
So you started tent camping, and you
have
two girls.
Yes.
So you started tent camping with the two girls. How long did you tent camp before you ended up in your pop-up camper?
Probably at least 7 years or so.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, probably.
And what
kind
of trips did you do?
Oh, local trips.
Local trips, yeah.
Probably
like
Shortswood, group camping.
Right.
You know,
state parks, no electric.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how is it?
You roughed it.
Yeah.
So how long have you had the pop-up now?
This is we've only had it, a year now.
Oh, okay. A full year.
A little
okay.
less than a year.
All right.
So how is the difference going from tent camping to the pop-up camper? How would you describe
Drier.
It? Drier. That's the key, right? Getting off the ground.
Off the ground.
Yeah,
everyone knows.
Right. Well, because they have to tell us about the first time they got off the ground, because I heard this story before. So go ahead, guys. Tell us about the first time you got off the ground.
Well, it started when we rented in Yellowstone. And after that, I knew it was kind of, we couldn't go back.
Yeah, so that story goes that we went to Yellowstone 2 summers ago?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 summers ago.
And that was your first RV trip then?
That was our probably first long trip. This
long trip, okay.
Yeah. And her dad has a, you know, similar to yours, right, like a 20-something footer.
Right.
He drove out ahead of us with all our gear. We grabbed the kids, flew to Jackson Hole, and rented an SUV with a pop-up. And then we met up with him in Yellowstone with all
our
gear.
Now, when you went to rent that, they had... the SUV, they had the pop-up, they just showed you how to hitch it up, they went through that whole process.
About 30 minutes, they show you how to set it up, basically.
And that's a cultural difference, too, because in New Jersey, you could rent a pop-up if you really tried.
But it's difficult, because around us, you can rent a motor coach, and that's
A Class A.
Yeah, right.
So how was that trip to Yellowstone?
That's awesome. You also rent you a Bear Mace, by the way.
Rent you Bear Mace that goes along with
that,
the pop-up.
Did that frighten you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Did you see any bears?
I did.
Yes.
Okay. And did you use the mace?
No.
All right.
No, they were far away.
I don't know
But if you go hiking deeper into the woods, bring whistles and Bear Mace.
Okay. All right. Got it.
Now, you camp with your two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaylee.
Yep.
And Emma.
Yes.
And how old are they?
12, Emma's 12, and Kaylee's 10.
And how do they like the RV experience?
I think last year when we were camping by ourselves local is when they got it.
Okay.
You know, when we flew out to Yellowstone, my father was there. There was lots of sightseeing and things to do. But when we went local for the first time, there was no other families with us, and they got on their bikes and they ventured out themselves. That's when they finally kind of got it for them.
Now, I have to say, I have seen Kaylee, and I keep hesitating about her name, but I'm getting it right. Mm-hmm. I have seen her in about 20 different spots around this campground on her bicycle, smiling every time and waving.
She's socializing.
Oh, she's
mayor. Socializing.
She's
at the bounce pillow.
Yeah.
She is our mayor.
She was at somebody else's campfire the other night when I was over saying hi. I mean, she wasn't even around. She was busy.
So are there any challenges to traveling with two girls that age? I mean, we have three boys that are younger.
Different stages, I guess, would be different things for them to do.
So I guess, what is it that you look for to make sure? We always talk about the balance, right? We know that our kids like different things than we do. And so we always try to make sure that we get something and they get something. Mm-hmm. What do you look for to make sure that that balance happens? Like, what do you look for to make sure that that 10-year-old has something that they really like to do and that then you also find something that you like to do?
Different things, like you had suggested, we did. Now we're doing the kayaking. They're both very excited to try that tomorrow.
Okay.
Awesome.
You know,
yeah. The Cypress Swamp.
And have they
tour.
Been kayaking before?
No.
Okay.
So it's something new and exciting and different.
Awesome. Right. I'm glad you. That's gonna be great.
Okay. Yeah. And what else did you do so far while you've been here in Myrtle Beach?
We did
ziplining.
The ziplining.
Oh, did you get to that? Yeah. Okay.
The one right at the beach or the
right
one
at
over
beach?
At the
beach?
All right, Adrenaline Adventures. Yep. Yeah, and we're hoping to get to that before we leave.
And how was the ziplining?
It was fun. The three of us, and then Kaylee being only 60 pounds, she got halfway out and stopped. And so
she didn't cannonball enough.
Yep.
Right? To get herself.
So
you got a cannonball.
That problem.
No, yeah, you'd zip right to the other side.
I went last and passed everybody.
Right. she got stuck on the zip
line. She got stuck, but they did a great job because evidently it happens a lot.
Yeah.
And they just kind of hooked her up to a little rope and flung her more. So she was excited because it was like she got to go twice.
Right. She got another thrill out of it.
Yeah.
All right. Right.
And of course, we've got girls.
And
you did the sky
wheel.
Okay. And how did they feel about that? Like, did they like? It was all right. They weren't as thrilled, maybe, as our younger ones.
Well, after did you do it after the ziplining? I mean, ziplining's hard to beat. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And Hector, you went to Brook Green Gardens today.
Yes.
For some photography.
Yep.
And how was that?
Oh, it was great.
We're gonna steal his pictures later.
Yeah, we're gonna steal your pictures. he said the light was good. I'm jealous because when we went, the light was very bad.
Yeah. Don't make excuses.
So how are you guys liking the campground, the Myrtle Beach KOA?
Like it a lot. The spots are huge, which surprised me.
Yeah, they're good sized pull throughs here.
When you do some research online, you see everybody's packed in tight on other campgrounds.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Where here, you've got lots of space to...
And you're the second person who has said that to us today, that at this campground, you do get a really nice-sized site, where some of the other campgrounds in town, and even some of the oceanfront campgrounds in town, you're packed in tightly.
Right.
And
right.
That took us by surprise last year. We were like, wow, these are big sites
It feels like you're really removed, I feel like, from the whole Myrtle Beach thing.
Yes.
It's funny you said it, because like the first night we got here, we got here probably 10, 11 o'clock at night or something like that. Well, probably a little earlier, but it was night. And we set up and we didn't, we stayed in. And the next day we go out, we make a right, and we're like,
it's a city.
You're right in the middle of the city.
Here's a strip.
So it's like this enchanted forest, practically, this deeply wooded forest.
Yeah.
It's very removed. I mean, if you listen, you can kind of hear the sounds of the city in the distance.
I think I hear a siren.
If you really strain, you can hear some of the boardwalk noise. But I mean, if you're not paying too much attention, it is like you're in a deep wooded campground.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But you hang a right, and there's a miniature golf course 50 yards away. Mm-hmm. And then there's 1,000 restaurants and all the chaos of Myrtle Beach.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what else with the kids? How do they feel? Like, do you think in general about the camping experience here? Do you think that they'll walk away from this thinking this is a place they want to come back to?
Oh, they've already said they want to come back.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Emma already announced today. She's like, well, tomorrow's our last full day here, so I just want to be here.
She wants to spend
the
day
at the campground.
Well,
that's what our boys are like.
Oh my gosh.
They're never happier than when we're just at the campground.
No, and here too, we want to take them out. We want to experience all these different things. And they're like, okay, but can we come back to the bounce?
I mean, today we were out doing all the crazy fun Myrtle Beach stuff.
Yeah.
And at 12:30, it was just apparent
to
me they wanted to come home, come back to the campground here and do the pool and ride their scooters and go to the bounce pillow.
Yeah.
So that's what's
and
tomorrow
so
the campground day
even
for you
when
guys.
They get a little older, they'll want to hang out here all day and they'll be happy going from place to place. All right, that's pretty cool to hear. I mean, just for us, we're telling ourselves that this will still work 5 years from now, 6 years from now, right?
Yeah. So what is next for you guys? I hear there's travel trailer shopping going
possibly.
On.
Possibly.
Okay,
shopping.
So wait, let's back up a little bit. Okay. So Laura and Hector bought their pop-up. From what I recall, just months before listening to our podcast for the first time. Right. So they bought their first pop-up. And then they listened to our podcast and felt like they had done something wrong, which we strongly advise
which
against feeling ever. No, because
we were pop-up
you bought a pop-up.
You have to understand, I grew up in a pop-up camping world.
But it was an idea to you, right?
I think the one that we got was a little small once you add the kids
and the stuff.
And a friend.
And a dog.
And a dog. And yeah. Sometimes another friend.
Okay.
So we didn't realize how small we got.
It would feel to you once you all got in.
Yes.
It. Okay.
Yes.
So then you bought your pop-up and you felt real fancy schmancy.
Yes.
And then you started trailer shopping?
Yeah. Well, we're looking.
Well, this is what I did. We had the pop-up camper for 3 or 4 months when I started.
You started looking. Okay. All right. So how long have we been looking for now? We actually met you at an RV show.
Yes.
Let's be honest here.
Yes.
So just months after they had their pop-up, they started looking.
We buy used.
Yes.
Just so, I mean, it could take tomorrow. It could take a while. So it depends on a budget and what we find. And
what do you think
I find the shopping to be fun, too.
You do. So you would rather shop than
not,
buy.
Why mm-hmm. not take your time?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what do you think would suit your family? You have two girls. They're entering into their teenage years.
Yep.
You definitely want to do this as a family throughout that time period. So what do you think would suit your family in a trailer?
We have to have separate sleeping for each of them.
Okay.
Places to throw their stuff. And there, being that we can fit one more kid in, there's always going to be a friend with us.
Okay.
So we probably need at least three bunks.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So.
Do you want designated beds? Are you happy?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't have one kid just has to sleep up against the wall, and if they're with their sister, the wall is the sister, so they need their space.
That's all made sense for
us. And we've thought about that. We don't know whether we would be able to, kind of like keep them together in sleep spaces or get them separate.
So
okay.
What's left for you guys this summer? What's your next big trip that you're planning?
Oh, we're following in your footsteps. We're doing Acadia.
Okay.
Is coming up.
Excellent choice.
Besides the rally.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, you're going to be at Lake and Wood.
The last week in May.
What is that sound?
That's an airplane.
I don't think I've heard an airplane go over this campground the whole time we've been here.
That's the entire Air Force.
I don't know. Are they doing drills?
Wow.
But, okay, so we're going to be at the rally, and then you're going to go to Acadia.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. We love it there. We can't think of a better place. And what else is...
We probably have what?
We're also doing Hershey.
Hershey, which we haven't been to.
Yes, we want to go back to Ringing Rocks in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like a very full summer.
Yep. And so, in other words, they're trying to squeeze the life out of the pop-up.
Yes.
Before they trade it in for their...
Hector, I want to see some great pictures in Acadia. From
absolutely.
At the Bar Harbor, at the Bar Harbor KOA.
Yep.
Great sunsets there.
Great place
for a photographer.
Are you guys on Instagram?
Yeah, I just joined, 2 weeks ago.
You
got to start putting your pictures up there.
All right, yeah. So then you're going to hashtag all your Acadia pictures, RVFTA, and we'll be regramming them and pretending we're there.
If I pretend they're my pictures.
If one of them happens to not have credit given, who knows? It could just slip through the cracks. You never know. We don't know.
Well, so thank you so much to Laura and Hector for joining us for this late night episode.
I know, after hours.
I'm waiting for someone to drive up and
nobody
tell us to be quiet.
Nobody has yelled at us yet. We appreciate that. It's such a nice campground. Everybody here is really nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
See you
enjoy your day tomorrow.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 30 of RV Family Travel Atlas live from the Myrtle Beach KOA. Now, I want to end by asking you a question, Stephanie. Are you ready? This is not scripted. She doesn't know what I'm going to ask her.
We never know.
What was your favorite thing that we did during this vacation? We have one day left, but what was your favorite activity?
I should have had an answer for that because I would have...
Well, I'll share.
Seen that
well, I'll share mine, and I'm going to buy you some time because you have to answer the question.
Okay.
So, my favorite activity, and honestly, this may have been my favorite activity I've ever done on an RV trip, was our kayak tour with Black River Outdoors. I did a Cypress Swamp tour. Mm-hmm. The tour guide Paul was amazing. I wrote a blog post about it. Go check it out on our website. I had an awesome two-hour tour with Max on my lap in this kayak. The guy caught snakes. We saw turtles. We saw all kinds of wildlife. We learned about the nature of the area. We learned about the natural history. I had a blast, and I want to thank Stephanie because she scheduled this for me, and she pushed me a little bit because I woke up the first morning kind of not wanting to do anything, and you pushed me into it, and I loved it.
You're not a big scheduler, and
I don't like to be scheduled on vacation. It was like, oh, you have your 10 o'clock tour, but honey, I loved it. It was awesome.
Okay.
It was the highlight of my week.
And then I went later on that week with, this week, I should say, with Theo, and I did a different kayak tour.
Same company,
with
Black
him.
River Outdoors. We loved them.
They were amazing. The Salt River Marsh tour with them.
Over by
and
Huntington
that
Beach.
That was great too. But I don't think that was my best moment of the week. The funny thing is one of the best moments of the week for me was the zip lining. And it wasn't because it was the most fun for me. I'd done really good zip lining, like in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
You've done heavy duty.
Yeah. In New Hampshire, the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina, I did a great zip line course. So, like, I've done fun, huge, high zip lines. This is just a zip line down at the beach, and it's fun.
High enough. Don't let her make it sound like this zip line's nothing special. It was okay. Look, I went on this zip line, and it was high enough for
me.
Check out our pictures online.
My boys decided they were going to come with me. They told me they were. Now, the whole time we suited up and walked all the way up that platform, I was not sure if they'd really do it because, you know, you have to step off yourself. A guide's not going to, you know, the people
have butterflies in my stomach.
They're not going to push you off. They won't do that for liability's sake. Like, I might
not
do that
to 5 year olds either.
No, I might do that with them. I might go, you're going to have a great time. Go. But, you know, I knew they weren't going to do that. And we were all standing up there and I saw one of them, his eyes got a little teary. I could tell he was scared. And I was like, you know what?
Stephanie is not disclosing the name
no,
of the child.
No, because I don't, you know, I don't like to embarrass any
right.
of my kids.
I appreciate
so
that.
He was kind of like looking like he was like gonna say no, go on this. And I would have let him. I always let my kids make their own decisions, but I push them to like try things. So I stood up there and I thought, I'm gonna go. And I don't know if they're gonna follow, but what am I gonna do? Just show them that it's okay. And I went and I looked back and I saw them standing on those blocks and I thought, they're not gonna go. And one went. And then the other one.
And I have to stop, you know, I was taking pictures and I had the camera in burst mode so that it was taking, you know, dozens of pictures. And so when I played back those photos and kind of clicked through them in order, I could see Stephanie going down the zip line, waving them on.
Yeah, I turned around and I was saying,
I could see her waving them
on. Yeah.
And then when one of them pops into the picture, I saw her clapping. So she's going down the zip line clapping. It was adorable to watch this sequence of photos.
Well,
so that's a great moment.
I was so proud of that.
Great
like,
moment.
For them to take that step and to do something that I know they were scared.
They were brave.
And they were like, you know what? I'm going to try this anyway. And everything in me was so happy for them just as kids to be able to do that.
Oh, and they're going to be talking about that at kindergarten.
That was a good moment.
Just as a reminder, we're going to put together all of our recommendations and we're going to do an adventure guide to Myrtle Beach and we're going to hit everything in depth, give you information on prices, locations, all of those things.
And we'll have the nice laid out blog posts that
we'll be doing separate blog posts about all these things. We have the first two up already. Thanks again to KOA. Thank you to Jeremiah Drew for hosting us here at the Myrtle Beach KOA. We've had an amazing week here. We will be back at this campground again.
We know
whether
we will.
Sponsored or as customers, we will be back here because we love and adore this place. And we love and adore Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
All right, we'll see you at the campground.
Thank you for joining us.